Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's scripture reading is Luke 12, verses 49 through 53. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Please bless the reading and hearing of the scripture.
Thank you. You know, we live in a splintered and we live in a divided world. And sometimes it is very hard to be a Christian and hold on to your convictions, whether it's in your workplace and they're non-believers, or whether you're a Christian living in a Muslim country, it can be very hard. For some people, it's kind of like being a Patriots fan living in Steeler country. You got to hold on to your convictions no matter how much you get picked on. There's evidence of a splintered families all around and among us. A cartoon strip showed a young woman talking to her minister one day. She said, John and I are having a terrible time. Pastor, we need your advice. We're trying to decide how to divide the furniture, who gets the money from the savings, how it's divided, and who gets custody of the children. The minister, you know, he's heard things like this before. She says, are you contemplating divorce? And the woman said, oh, no. We're just trying to work out our prenup. Prenuptial agreement. There are devout Christian parents who have tried to maintain a Christian home and serve as good Christian examples, doing the best that they can. However, one of their sons or their daughters turns away from Jesus, stops going to church, wants nothing to do with it. They end up with the wrong friends. Maybe they turn to drug or alcohol addiction. Many turn to theft and all the heartache that this brings to the parents who love their son or their daughter so very much. And sometimes parents ask, where did we go wrong? And they begin to pray that the prodigal child will come home, that the child will get it together and come back into the family fold, and even just as important, will come back into the family of God and reassert their belief. We do, whether we like it or not, live in a divided world. At Jesus' birth, the angels sang peace on earth and goodwill towards men. So it comes as somewhat of a shock to good worshiping Christians to be reminded by Jesus himself, as we are in the gospel for today, that the world was divided at the time of Jesus and about Jesus, and the world is still divided about Jesus and who he is today. He said, do you think I've come to give peace on the earth? No, I tell you, I've come rather to give division. Jesus lived in the real world. He saw with horror and compassion the sunlight and the shadows, the light and the darkness of human nature and behavior. He did not delude himself that he would be universally accepted. He knew from the beginning that not everyone would accept his teachings. Our world from ancient Palestine to modern America is evidence of the clarity of the vision of our Lord Jesus. So what are the visions regarding Jesus? There are those who love him, those who follow him, those who seek to serve him. And that's what we hope that everyone that is here today at Glenshaw Valley is seeking to do. Then there are those who try to be neutral towards him. Remember Pilate. Pilate didn't really want to deal with it, didn't really want him to be put to death. But he said, I find no fault in this person, but you see to it. And they led Jesus away. Like Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night and called him a teacher from God and got a sermon on commitment for his troubles. like some moderns who try to say that Jesus, yeah, he was a good man. He was a nice prophet. We can give him a little bit of respect. But that's all, nothing more, not believing that he is the Son of God. So neutrality towards Jesus is not really possible. As Pilate discovered, every person must come down on one side of their belief in Jesus or on the other side of unbelief. Jesus said, "He who is not with me is against me." Jesus cannot be just a good man. Either he is who he claimed to be when he said, "I am the Father of one. He that has seen me has seen the Father." Or else he's just a good man. One of the most audacious liars. A major fraud that history really has ever produced. No matter how we try to delude ourselves in the attempt, there can be no neutrality towards Jesus. Every person must come down on one side or the other. Then there are those who despise and reject him, from the Pharisees who engineered his crucifixion to the modern anti-Christian nations, groups, and people. Today, Christian churches, once open to every passerby, we have to keep our churches locked now because people will come in and vandalize and destroy. Christians are being made fun of on a daily basis on television, whether it's in a TV show or even sometimes in certain news broadcasts. Christians are being made fun of, certainly, in movies. That if you're a Christian, you're an idiot. How could you do that? And they're laughed at and derided. Christians around the world, we see it on the news, are being killed today because simply of their belief in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I came to bring division." The important question for us is, where are we in this division? How does the gospel apply to us? Since we're here at worship, we assume that we're those who serve him and love him. And this is our hope, that every one of us needs to take time and re-examine our beliefs, what we really believe about Jesus Christ and who he is and why he came into the world. And if we really believe he is the Son of God, the Messiah. Are we being faithful in our witness for Jesus? Or is our polite silence some type of facade of neutrality? Is occasional church attendance a nod to social conformity? Is our anemic stewardship a sign really of an uncommitted life? Wife and her small son visited a church. The minister called in their home one evening that week. Only the husband was there and the mother and children were not at home. They talked about church and he said he guessed he was a member somewhere back home, but he wasn't really sure. Then he added, "My wife is a churchgoer in our family." The minister asked him as kindly as he could, "As far as Christianity is concerned, whose side are you on?" He laughed and said, "Well, I guess I'm not on anybody's side." But he was. Not to decide is to decide. How different from the deaf man who went to church every Sunday and there was not even anyone to interpret for him. And he sat there every Sunday. One day a friend wrote him a letter and said, "Why do you come to church all the time when you can't hear anything? You can't hear the message. You can't hear the music." And he simply said, "Because I don't want there to be any doubt of which side I am on." And I ask all of us this morning, is there any question to which side we are on? You know, we cannot force Christian life on others, but if we're true witness for Jesus Christ, we can do our best to exhibit it and try to make it attractive for other people. And our witness is never to condemn, but to invite, to tell and show in words and deeds that we do believe and we're doing our best to live the Christian life. A man came to church to ask for instruction as to how he could become a member. He said, a friend of mine has joy and strength in his life that I really, really need in my life. He told me that he gets it here at church. And I need that Lord that he has. And I ask all of us, are people attracted to Christ by what they see and hear from each of us? If we are true to our witness for Jesus, there will be opposition, just as our Lord himself was opposed. We can expect it. No one is asking for our crucifixion, but there are those who will want to call us goody-two-shoes, say, and even make fun of our beliefs. So how can you believe that? How can you believe this stuff in the Bible? But our daily life needs and should and has to show our faith, that it is our faith, our belief in Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Spirit that guides everything that we do. A jokingly contemptuous man once said to a pastor, I use the same words on the golf course that you use in church, except in a different setting. It was more than a different setting, of course. It was a different attitude. It was a different way of life. A different side of the division that Jesus Christ described. The exclamation. You ever heard someone say, Jesus Christ? You can even take the name of Jesus and you can turn it into a form of profanity. Or you can say, Jesus Christ. And it's a form of worship. Which are we doing? We cannot do both. Neutrality towards Jesus is really impossible, though I think all of us at times give it our best shot. Jesus said, you think I've come to give peace on earth? No, brother, I have come to bring division. Whether this story is true or not, I don't know, but Abraham Lincoln was first introduced to Harriet Beecher Stowe, who wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin. He said, so this is the little lady who started the Civil War. However true that incident may be, she wrote not to bring peace at that time, but to bring division, and people had to decide which side they were on. Jesus is the man that divides families, communities, and even nations. The division he brought extends from his day to our day, and each person must decide which side he or she is on. There is no neutrality. He who is not with me is against me. So it comes right down to the personal question. In the division over this question, which side do you honest and truly fall on? Belief in Jesus Christ or his kind of, or actually against Christ? And how does your witness, how does your way, daily way of life, living it, and how does your stewardship of time and talents answer that question? May God bless you.